I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present, save for Councillor McDermott.
Thank you. There is an addendum this evening. It relates to Appendix 2 of Report CS 20-2015. Just some revised numbers there, which we'll deal with when we get to that report. Only two announcements. The first one is, it's now 6:02 and the polls close at 9:30. So if anybody's listening that hasn't yet voted, please take the time to go out and vote. It's the one way that all citizens can show their appreciation for those who created and maintain and defended the rights that we have in our democratic society. So instead of listening to us, please go out and vote. Second thing is, I wanted to recognize the Chamber of Commerce, which held its Business Excellence Awards the other evening, and there were 10 awards that were handed out. It was a very well-attended evening, very well-organized event, very good sponsors for the various categories. There were 10 categories, and I don't think it's inappropriate to mention those who received the awards. This is a biannual event that the Chamber of Commerce puts on. And the awards and the recipients were as follows. Emerging Business of Excellence went to Brimstone Brewing Company, Inc., which is centered in Ridgeway. Young Professional of Excellence went to Lisa Anderson. Accessible Business Award went to Garrison Place Retirement Residence by Rivera. The Community Involvement and Volunteerism Award went to Maria Costa. The Entrepreneur of Excellence Award went to Marina Butler. Same Marina Butler that represents Ward 4 and is sitting to my left. The Technology, Innovation, and Environmental Initiative Award went to Rio Vista Golf Club. The Exceptional Customer Service Award went to Lacia Wellard, who works at Trailside Bar and Grill. The Employer of Excellence Award went to Juraz Canada. And the Small Business of Excellence Award went to Fate Salon and Spa. The final award, the Large Business of Excellence Award, went to Bill's Toyota Scion. So congratulations to all of those individuals. Certainly well-deserved, and they certainly shine a bright light on the town of Fort Erie and our future. Even the Master of Ceremonies did a reasonably good job, Councillor Passero. Okay. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none. There are some open houses and public notices of those. The first relates to the Douglastown Black Creek Secondary Plan, which is holding, there will be an open house on Thursday, October the 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Faith Reformed Church on Black Creek Road in Douglastown. There's a public meeting with respect to the combined official plan, zoning bylaw amendment, and draft plan of subdivision for property east of Ridgeway Road, south of Graber Avenue, and that's commonly known as the Mars Homes development. That will be held November the 2nd, 6 p.m. at the Town Hall Council Chambers. There will be an information report that will be available on our website October the 28th, 2015 at 5 p.m. There's also a public meeting with respect to the town-initiated official plan and zoning bylaw amendment of former industrial lands on Helena Street. That is also being held Monday, November the 2nd. At 6 p.m. here at the Town Hall Council Chambers. And again, the report on that will be available to the public on October the 28th, 2015. There's also a town zoning bylaw amendment with respect to housekeeping changes on Monday, November the 2nd, 2015 at 6 p.m. in the Town Hall Council Chambers. And the report as well with respect to that will be available October the 28th. And then finally, the 2016 budget meeting schedule, first meeting Wednesday, November the 4th, dealing with capital budget and forecast. Second meeting Wednesday, December the 9th, that's the water and wastewater budget. Third meeting on Wednesday, January 13th, 2016, the library and EDPC budgets will be presented. Fourth meeting Wednesday, January 27th, 2016, will be the general levy operating budget. There will be a fifth meeting, if necessary, on February the 3rd, 2016. All of those meetings begin at 5:30 p.m., and they're all held in the Town Hall Council Chambers. And Mr. Brady, I note that we've got three public meetings on November the 2nd with the three reports that go with that, and I understand there's also going to be a number of other reports.
That's correct.
So we should be bringing some type of bagged lunch with us?
I'm not sure if a bagged lunch would be required. We will be putting a number of the reports on the consent agenda, and I don't believe any of these public meetings will be particularly long.
Famous last words. Okay. That takes us to the consent agenda. Can I have a resolution to put those items on the floor, please? Councillor Nutt, those items are on the floor for questions or comments. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just on report CAO 18-2015, the proposed amendments to the corporation's health and safety policy.
Yes.
On page 3, the very first paragraph, and there's the second bullet, I'd just like to get a little clearer explanation of an events sponsored or affiliated with the employer. And,
okay, where are you? You're on page 3 of the report?
Yes.
And you said the second bullet?
Third bullet. I believe, right? So it's the third bullet. Expand definition of workplace to include social events sponsored by or affiliated with the employer. So I'm assuming that's affiliated with the town of Fort Erie.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to get a little better, a clearer understanding of exactly what that is, because when I'm reading this, and it makes it a very broad statement, if it's affiliated with the town of Fort Erie, then that applies. So if we're at, say, a social event that's being sponsored by one of our community groups and somehow they can affiliate it with the town of Fort Erie, is that something that we need to be concerned about?
Mather, why don't you take the podium and perhaps you can respond to that, and there may be some other questions as well.
Certainly, Your Worship, through you to the councillor. The affiliation is meant to describe a circumstance where the town of Fort Erie, as the employer, would be hosting or sponsoring an event, a social event. So, for example, a Christmas party, a family picnic, a baseball tournament, something that the town has endorsed as an employer and has encouraged employees to attend.
So my concern, I don't have a problem with the report. I don't have a problem with all of this, but the problem that I have with the whole thing is being so broad, I'm worried that someone might want to try to say, well, and here's an example. The 5K run was just a couple of weeks ago. And we say that, well, Friends of Crystal Beach partnered with the town of Fort Erie because they use some of their employees. And we use some of the equipment. We had the pylons and we had road barricades and everything in the town. Employees came around and they spotted them in different places throughout the town. And then, you know, we put them up. We have our race. Could somebody come to us one day that has a problem and say, well, the town's affiliated with this event? You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
I'm worried about that. I want to lock this down a little so that this is only, like you said, a Christmas party, a town event.
Through Your Worship, perhaps I might address the councillor's concern by adding some words or affiliated with the corporation as the employer. That's the intent.
Well, just to go to that, the actual wording that's proposed in the policy itself is fairly imprecise. The wording being, depending on the circumstances, a workplace can include a social event sponsored by or affiliated with the corporation. And that means, and there is no definition of affiliated. Mm-hmm. So, how would you respond to a complaint of harassment that occurs at as Councillor Lubberts has utilized the example of Crystal Beach 5K?
I think it would depend on who's making the complaint, first of all, the substance of the complaint, and whether we can make that connection to it being, quote-unquote, a workplace for an employee of the town of Fort Erie. This policy applies to employees of the town of Fort Erie.
Right. But it could be, just to further the example, it could be an employee who's at the event who's harassed by somebody who's not an employee. That then could result in this policy being applicable?
I suppose with the way it is currently defined, you're quite correct. It could be brought into within the scope of the corporation.
Would it make any sense, and I think this is what Councillor Lubberts is driving at, would it make any sense to simply leave it at events sponsored by the municipality?
I don't see an issue with that right off the top. I could do a little homework between now and Monday.
Would that be of any assistance?
Yes, even if now that it's brought to everybody's attention, even if something doesn't come up for Monday, in the future, if we have something, even if we find that maybe we missed something over the next few days, I mean, doing it now, between now and Monday, is going to put a burden on you to do all the research. But
no, that's through your worship.
Do it before Monday, that's fine. If it takes longer than Monday, and we can always bring it back later and make that change, right?
Well, I think what Mr. Mather is suggesting is that by the time the bylaw is prepared, you can advise us whether it's necessary to include the words affiliated or whether they can be deleted.
That's correct, Your Worship.
A word. Okay, Councillor Lubberts.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Mr. Mather, any other questions with respect to this particular bylaw? Mr. Mather, we had a discussion earlier today with respect to the definition of workplace harassment, and in particular, the removal of the wording, and this is found on page 2 of the policy, the removal of the wording that is known or ought reasonably to be known to be unwelcome, and the substitution of wording that says should have been known to be unwelcome. Is there any, and as I mentioned earlier, it seems to me that is known or ought reasonably to be known, it has clear legal implications, and that places an onus on someone, and there's an objective standard that's utilized by the law with respect to that. Would there be any difficulty in retaining that wording as opposed to the wording should have known to be unwelcome, which is a little, I know the intent was to make it easier to understand, but I think there's some legal aspects to this wording. Any
yes,
comment on
certainly,
that?
Your Worship, you're quite right. The language is part of the two-part test for harassment, and I have no issue with restoring the language as it currently sits.
Okay.
The intent was to try and inject some plain language into the mix. Not taking into account that, in fact, as you pointed out correctly, that it is part of the two-part test.
And, of course, lawyers don't like to simplify this type of language. okay, since I'm the chair of the meeting, is there anyone who would be prepared to put forth a motion to amend that particular paragraph? Councillor Passero? Does anyone have any questions on that? Okay. Then I'll call the question on amending that. That's within the definition of workplace harassment. All those in favor of the amendment? Opposed, that is carried. Are there any other questions with respect to any of those reports that are in the consent agenda? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. I just wanted to speak briefly to CAO 19-2015 and commend Bev Bradnam, our staff liaison to the Accessibility Committee, for a very comprehensive report. Once a year, we receive these reports from various committees, and even reading through it, as comprehensive as it is, they don't do justice to the on-the-ground work that staff do as part of their committee liaison role in the town of Fort Erie. So I just wanted to thank Bev for her hard work and everything she does to help promote the AAC committee. It truly has gone from something that just looks at things within the four walls of Town Hall and our facilities to really something that has broadened its scope to ensuring that the entire community is accessible to all. And as I glanced down, he wasn't here when I got here, but Sean Hutton as well has been a good resource to the committee. So thank you both for all that you do. It's really directly because of them that these documents are possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's well said, Councillor Passero. I had a question with respect to this, Ms. Bradnam. I wonder if you could respond to it. And that relates to page 4, appendix 1, which is the report itself. And at the very bottom, there's a reference to parity, fare and hour parity with respect to public transit. And I wonder if you could just explain that.
Thank you, Your Worship. The transportation standard part of the AODA legislation requires that any municipality that has a conventional transit service as well as a specialized transit service has to offer the same hours at the same fares. So back in 2008 or 9, the council undertook to make those amendments, and I think it cost, the CAO can answer that, I think it was an additional $90,000 that council had to put forward to make sure that the specialized transit was offered for the same hours and days as the conventional transit. So it allowed people that had disabilities that need the specialized transit to have the same opportunities.
Mr. Cook, it has confirmed that amount, and that simply means that because as I understand it, the specialized transit is a call-in service.
Right.
So it just means that the same hours are available for those who require the use of the
transit. And the specialized transit is door-to-door as well.
Okay. Were there any other questions on this since we've got Ms. Bradnam up? If not, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Councillor Nutt.
All right. Ms. Bradnam, thank you very much for the report. It was very extensive and very thorough, which, you know, I just want to congratulate you on. It brought to light a lot of things and it really allowed me to think on a lot of things for the future coming up. Just in regards to follow up on the mayor's question about the fare and parity, the types of vehicles are in the legislation, are the types of vehicles legislated? Do they have to have power lifts or something? Could you just
There were some actual, depending on the size of your municipality, there was different compliance requirements. If you had buses already in the stable, they wouldn't have to be accessible at this point, but any new. And back in 2013, we were purchasing new buses, so the actual RFP went out for fully accessible. So if you bought it after January 1st, 2013, any new vehicles, they had to be accessible.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to, in light of the upcoming budget talks, make sure that
we
don't require any special vehicles. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions with respect to the consent agenda items? I had, Councillor Lubritz, sorry.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moving on to report CS 2020-2015, capital variance combined report. I see there's a number of projects that it looks like we're just going to cancel. And two of them in particular, and I guess I direct my question to our Director of Infrastructure. There's two in particular, Winger Road reconstruction and then some reconstruction on Nye Road. And I understand the reasoning to defer or to cancel these projects, but I spoke to a gentleman that lives on the upper half of Parkdale Avenue or Parkdale Road in Crescent Park. And this was a few weeks ago. And he asked me how he could go about getting his road resurfaced. Now, he did speak to the former councilor of the area, Mr. Steckley. And Mr. Steckley informed him at that time that the project was scheduled for 2012, that road was to be worked on. I didn't look up any of the reports or anything. I don't know if that's a fact, but I'm just wondering if it's possible that if we're going to be canceling these here types of projects, could we take a second look at Parkdale Avenue and maybe have some work done on the upper half of Parkdale?
Okay, so you've got a number of questions in there. Let's start with Nye Road and Winger Road. You asked why they were canceled. The material that we have says that Nye Road was because it's developer-driven and there's been a delay with respect to the development. Winger Road, it says it was completed on a under another project. Mr. Walsh, any additional information, or did you want to correct me on anything I've said?
Well, Mr. Mayor, what you've said is correct. Just further clarification, Winger Road was included in the resurfacing program last year, and unbeknownst to me at the time, the Winger Road that's being canceled here was was buried in the budget, and due to my unfamiliarity with the budget at that time, I missed that project. So those funds have gone back to reserve. Nye Road.
Well, they will go back to reserve.
Correct. Yes. Nye Road. It's not that we're canceling the project. We're just deferring it and returning, proposing to return the funds to reserve as well. So it's still on the books as a project. The timing is unknown right now.
And then the final part about Parkdale.
Parkdale, if I recall correctly, I don't have my 10-year forecast in front of me, but Parkdale, the upper section, is a capital project under the Crescent Park drainage improvements. It's one of the phases in there, and I don't know the year of it, but it will be done shortly. I can get that information to Councillor Lubbers.
I've had some discussion with Mr. Cookett about this, and maybe it may be fair to ask him to comment at this point, but you still have the floor.
All right, thank you. No. I understood the reasoning for the two roads. That was fine, and I accept that. But I just thought maybe we could, if we're going to go about this here, I just thought maybe we could take the monies instead of putting them back into reserves, bring it back to the people. They paid their taxes, and this is their money. And these projects were scheduled to be done, obviously, and now we're deciding that we're not going to do those projects for whatever reasons. Right. And I just thought that maybe we could, instead of not doing anything and putting the monies back in reserves, let's defer and move the monies over to Parkdale so that we can get Parkdale done.
Well, the difficulty with that is that when all these monies go into reserves, so all our capital projects are financed from reserves. So when these monies are put back into the general reserves for which they've been identified here, doesn't mean they're not going to be spent. It means they're going to be spent. The difficulty is that we have to have projects ready to go. And as you know, there is, as Mr. Walsh has indicated, a 10-year forecast of what work is going to be done next. So there is a listing of what's going on. And part of that list has to do as well with whether there's underground work that needs to be done. So Parkdale's is on that list. There may be some short-term work that needs to be done, particularly at the top end of Parkdale, and that's what Mr. Cookett and I have discussed. But there is an overall plan, and it's so we can't really be throwing in Parkdale this week and some other road next week. We've got a schedule that we follow, and there are reasons for it, and a lot of it has to do with the condition of the road and whether there's ancillary work that needs to be done.
Yes, I understand that, but the gentleman, when I was talking to him, he said that Parkdale was scheduled for 2012, and it's 2015 now. I think he deserves some kind of an explanation as to why it is that while you were scheduled in 2012 and we've just been pushing it off, and here we are again, we're still, I don't know if it's going to be scheduled next year or whatever, but I would like to have something that I could take to him, explain to him why it wasn't done since 2012 and when it will be done.
Well, Mr. Davis or Mr. Walsh can advise you of whether it was on the 2012 list and if it's been deferred, why. then you'll be able to pass that on to the resident.
Okay. Thank you very much.
See, Councillor. Okay, Councillor Zankel, it's your ward.
I actually, thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to comment because I also looked into the upper portion of Parkdale, and I did contact Mr. Walsh back in February, and it was quite a while, and I was told at that point that there was really nothing defined in the project, and you did send maintenance crew out there to fix some of the potholes at that time, but nothing defined was scheduled. So I'm interested to know if that has changed as well.
Right, so that's information, Mr. Walsh, that you will pass on to Councillor Butler.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to thank you for clarifying that, you know, in my estimation, if money is going to go back into the reserve and we're going to examine which roads are going to get it, that all roads need to be examined and not one road should be favored over another. So I wanted to thank you for clarifying that.
Well, we do have a plan, and so we'll simply follow that along. And sometimes that plan needs to be adjusted because sometimes roads deteriorate, as the region found out with Dominion Road, and our staff stays on top of that. Anything further, Councillor Lubritz? I'll go back to you. Okay, Councillor Nutt.
Just for the record and for those listening at home, Councillor Lubritz said we're canceling projects. We're returning funding because the project on Winger Road was completed under a different number. And if anybody out there drives Winger Road, you'll know it was completed and that this project work has already been done. So,
well, I drive that periodically. I got to tell you, it's not nearly as much fun as it used to be.
No, it's much smoother.
Okay, and the report does indicate as well that there are several projects that were funded from other sources. There's a couple here that were funded through regional revenues. So those monies are also going back into reserves for the respective areas. I did have a question, Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. I just wanted to touch on a point that was raised about why projects are being deferred. And the previous council was asked by staff to set aside certain monies for resurfacing and infrastructure. And the previous council decided to lessen the dollar amounts that were requested by staff. So we've been falling further behind. So if the individual is questioning Councillor Lubritz as to why Parkdale may be delayed, you can tell him, and I'm not sure what the vote was at the time, but you can go back and see who voted for it and who voted against it.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep my eyes clearly on the future, and I suggest we all do that. Councillor, but there's no need for you to respond to that.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop, and thank you very much, Councillor Passero. But I think maybe for the record, we should let everybody know in the audience and everybody that's listening to this meeting also that when I brought these questions up, I'm not bringing these questions up to go after staff. I'm not bringing these questions up to say anything that we're canceling projects and that they're doing the wrong thing. I brought it up because a constituent came to me and asked me, and he gave me, this is third-hand information that I'm just relaying at the meeting, and I'm asking questions for. So I just want everybody to know that. So when I do ask questions, I'm asking questions for a reason, so that the constituents can get an answer as well. So,
thank you, Councillor Lubritz, and we understand that, and you'll get that information from Mr. Walsh. I did have a question, Mr. Jansen. We had spoken about this report, and particularly Appendix 1 earlier, and I indicated that it was a little difficult to necessarily follow some of the information contained there and contained in Appendix 2, which is a listing of where money is going to be returned to the reserve fund, that is what reserve fund and what amount. And you indicated that there was something that could be done to perhaps clarify that, make it a bit easier for those who are looking at this report as an example on the website. And I wonder if you could explain this report.
Certainly. To the Mayor, what we would propose is expanding Appendix 2 so that rather than summarized by reserve fund type, we would have a subtotal for each reserve with the details of each project code being close to that account, so that, for example, with the facilities maintenance reserve, the three jobs that are closing and being returned to that reserve would be listed in detail with that, so it would be there would be a full reconciliation on that appendix.
So it would be easier then to follow Appendix 2 and Appendix 1. There'd be a better correlation.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions with respect to the consent agenda items? I just have one other, and I don't know, perhaps the CAO can answer this, but I note that in the report CAO 20 for 2015, which deals with the Internet and Session Initiation Protocol, it's the CAO that be delegated the authority to execute the necessary agreements. Typically, it's the clerk and the mayor. Do you know why it's the CAO?
No, actually, I believe that's an error, and that should be the mayor and the clerk that signs those agreements.
Okay. All right. So in any event, that will be coming forward in the format of a bylaw, I presume. Okay. If there are no other questions, I'll call the question on the consent agenda items. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to Infrastructure Services. Councillor Luberts, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Before we get started, I think the consent agenda was amended, right? Should we vote on it as amended?
We did have an amendment. The amendment was approved. So when we vote on the report, it's as it was amended. We've already done the amendment.
So now we report. We voted on the consent agenda as amended. Maybe the clerk can verify that.
Voted on the consent agenda. There was one report that was amended. That was voted on. And so you can call it the consent agenda as amended, but it's the consent agenda that with all the reports, one of which was amended. You're looking for another vote. I don't think it's necessary, but Madam Clerk.
No, I'm not looking for another vote, Mayor Redekop. I'm asking so that we follow the rules of procedure. If we amend it, it's as amended. I'm not looking for a second vote.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay, I understand that. So you're simply correcting it. Should have been the consent agenda as amended.
Very simple question.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I agree with that. And we've already voted on it, so you're not asking for another vote.
Do we have to vote again? I asked the clerk.
Why don't we do this?
Verifying and asking the question.
By the time you and I get finished discussing it, we could have voted on it several times. So all those in favor of the consent agenda as amended. Unopposed, that's carried.
Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop.
Councillor Luberts, you now have the Infrastructure Services Chair.
Yes, thank you very much. Infrastructure Services is now in session. We have no presentations or delegations, and we have one report, IS-34-2015. Recommended changes to schedules of fees in the arena rates.
So moved.
Do I have any questions or comments at all, Mayor Redekop?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions, and one had to do with what the cost of maintaining the ice is between May the 1st and August 31st, if we know that. I wonder if, Mr. Chair, I could ask that get that information.
Yes, I think Mr. Hutton was just about to approach the podium, so maybe he can address that.
To your worship, are you looking for all-encompassing cost to operate the Leisureplex for that three-month period?
Well, it's actually a four-month period, May,
four
June,
months, sorry.
August.
Correct.
So if we,
yes,
we don't have ice that's being rented, there's presumably some cost to at least maintain the facility.
Correct.
So I guess I'd be interested in knowing what that is, and then I'm interested in knowing how much it costs to keep ice in there for that 4 month period. And then I guess we've got some idea as to whether, as you suggest in your in your report, it's worthwhile for us to even have ice in the summer. That'd be the information that I'd be looking for, Mr. Chair.
Yes, I think when you go through the report, when I read the report, it sounded to me like we had two ice pads at one time, and then we went back to one because we had less. So I think it's like if there's a demand, we have it. If there's no demand, we don't have it. Mr. Hutton, maybe you can elaborate on that.
Through you, Your Worship. Yes, at one time we provided ice on both ice surfaces throughout the summer months. As utilization declined, we decided to close one ice surface. So now we just have one pad for those four-month period. So the ice is in continually through that four-month period.
Am I right about that?
Right. The question is whether we're generating enough revenue to warrant having the ice. This report goes to the issue of if we reduce the price of the summer ice, we may be able to attract back some of the individuals who are renting ice elsewhere. Plus, we may be able to grow the demand for ice because others who aren't renting ice anywhere might decide that they want to pick up an hour here and there or perhaps on a scheduled basis. Your premise is that it's probably better to keep the ice for that four-month period because there are some ancillary revenue-generating opportunities as well. I think that's what you're saying in this report. Is that correct?
Correct. I feel my preference is to try and at least make it viable,
right,
make the arena operate. If we were to close that surface as well as the first surface, which is already closed, there's a lot of dominoes that would fall. Our tenants pay utilities year-round. They never envisioned both ice surfaces being out, so we may have to consider a reduction in rent that we would obtain from them. There's a number of factors that would go into that. So,
right. Hence the recommendation that we reduce the rate, see what happens, and go from there. I'd still be interested in knowing the cost figures. And just so that I'm clear on this, you expressed some concern about giving an overall reduction. You're talking about some short-term notifications of reduced ice time, so it wouldn't be anything that's set in stone. It would be differing hours so that people who rent the ice on a regular basis wouldn't be able to take advantage of only low-cost ice. So exactly how are you going to do that?
A few years ago, we had an inquiry from a counselor to consider this. So for a small period of time, we tested it. And what we'd do is each Monday, the first part of the week, we'd look at what we had available for the week. We'd select certain times, but not all our times. So we might take a time in Ridgeway and two at the Leisureplex. We might take a weekday evening and a couple weekend times, just kind of a mix, and discount those times. And under the current premise, that first day we might discount them 10%, and then as the date of the actual ice rental neared, we'd get closer to the 30%. But I would try and stay away from discounting the same time week over week, because then we might get the same groups that otherwise would pay full rate and secure a contract, just cherry picking.
Okay, thank you. And so that's a work in progress. You're going to test that further if we approve this report and see how it goes.
Correct.
Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Any other further questions or comments? Councillor Nutt, then Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Chair Lubert. Through you to Mr. Hutton. In your report, you talk about other municipalities. As we know, we've got a new arena in Niagara Falls, a new arena in St. Catharines that we're obviously competing with. So do you know of any other municipalities that and what their discount processes are? I know that you did explain some on a high level in the report, but I was just wondering if your thoughts on what you're proposing, how it would stack up against how they're discounting their ice.
Yep, through you, Your Worship, to the Councillor. Currently, Port Colborne discounts ice. They do only same-day discounts, and it's $100. So it's quite a discount. Our considered structure wouldn't discount ice quite that far, but would allow us to discount starting a little earlier than just same day. By the same token, Niagara Falls does $150, or off-peak time is $100. There's many other communities, Milton, Ottawa, London, Windsor, Oakville, there's tons that do different types of things, but regionally or close to us, those are the best two comparisons.
All right. Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Hutton, for this report. Yeah, I thought this worked well when we tried it a couple years ago. I'm glad we're taking it to the next level. And I just wanted to fill my colleagues in. This was very heavily supported by many of our large user groups, so our figure skating clubs, our minor hockey associations, because they recognize that more revenue that can be brought in during the downtimes means the less likelihood of their ice fees going up as regular users, because we're always looking to fund it somehow. And traditionally what has happened is it has gone on the backs of the people that have no choice but to stay here in Fort Erie. Other people flee, they get the cheap ice time, and those who are left behind are forced to pay the difference. So they're fully supportive of this, and I'm looking forward to an update in a few months to see how it went. Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? Mr. Hutton, I just have a couple, just one comment more than a question, but and it kind of relates to what the mayor was saying earlier about the costs. And I wasn't so much looking at just the 4 months in this, when we have the summer ice, but when I read through the report and looking at the different fees, and then you know you can imagine that as time went on, the fees when they were lower, and I'm hearing this from other groups out there, when the fees were lower, the other groups, they were out there using the ice because they could afford the ice. But, and I know that there's some councils might criticize me for saying this, but for whatever reasons, the town of Fort Erie had to raise the rates because of higher wages, cost of living, whatever reason. So now we end up, the rates were going up, and then some of the groups had to drop out because they couldn't afford. So then the last term of council, we tried to address this, and it worked out well. But when I was going through the report, I was thinking, what is the perfect scenario for us? What's the ultimate if the ice was rented when it needed to be rented, and what would the cost be for the town? Because I'm looking at this and I'm seeing now, not just us, other municipalities, they're making adjustments. They're coming along, like you suggested, as having reduced rates, you know, over time, 5 days, you know, as it gets closer to the day, you increase the discount. Has anybody thought about, why don't we just go back to just the flat rate and reduce everything instead of making all these deals and just giving everybody and seeing if we can start getting some of the local people back that just want to use the ice for some entertainment? Because I think those are the guys that dropped out a lot too. And I mean, I'm when I look at other municipalities, I'm sure that they're making those adjustments because now people can't afford the rates. So now we're trying to adjust and bring them down so that we can be more competitive. Has anybody thought of that?
Your Worship, to the councillor. Certainly a good question. certainly a difficult one to answer. The majority of the cost increases over the past few years have been driven by council's policy to recover a portion of costs. Typically, arenas recover about 60% of operating costs, and that's about where we are. My personal preference as the arena manager, you won't like to hear this, but I'd rather not worry about what revenue we'd bring in and just have the place full. That's my personal preference. If you want to consider reduced rates or some simpler structure, I'm certainly open to considering that. Certainly up to you.
Well, I just thought that, I mean, when I'm looking at it and I'm looking at other municipalities, it was just a thought that came to my mind while I was going through the report. I thought, geez, you know, we're adjusting the rates and trying to reduce everything to lure people in, and we're reducing them to the rates that we had at one time. Be competitive. So obviously those rates are competitive now.
So that was just something that came to mind, and I just thought maybe, you know, it's something that we could maybe hash around, maybe even talk to other municipalities.
Okay. But Councilor anyway. Lubberts, if I may.
Yes.
Through my experience both in Pelham in a previous employment opportunity and with my kids in both hockey and figure skating, I've been around a lot of arenas in the past 18 years. What we're doing with our rates here is not uncommon with other municipalities. We give breaks to youth rates. We give discounts to special interest groups, et cetera. Everybody's doing the same thing, and we can go around and look, and certainly we will, but just to put your mind at ease, we're doing kind of what everybody else is doing here. But it was just on that vein, it's been the will of council for many, many years that that dual rate structure, if you want to call it that, has been in place to encourage the youth.
Okay, thank you very much.
Arenas aren't cheap.
Yes, I understand that. Councilor Mayor Radicop.
Yeah, I guess coming out of your comment and some of the comments made by Mr. Hutton were the reference to the municipality that's charging prime rate and then a lesser rate for off hours. And do we do that now?
Yes.
We just don't sufficiently reduce the rates on the really bad hours.
No, to you, Your Worship. Our off peak, our non-prime time ice is weekday ice through the winter. All the evening and weekends are considered prime time. What we're looking at is the holes, the gaps, the, you know, the Friday night from 10 to 11 that we just can't seem to rent at full price. So those are the ones that we're targeting to try and discount to get someone in and fill those gaps.
Right. Okay. And I suppose part of this process will be looking at the whole picture as we're going along to see whether there are any other suggestions that you can make to get more people in to utilize more of the ice. Because you're quite right. If every hour of ice that was available was rented, you wouldn't have to worry about the revenues. The revenues would be there. But as long as I know that this isn't the end, that there's going to be some consideration of what's going on, I'm fine with that. And appreciate your efforts on this.
Anybody else? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Chair Lubberts. Just more of a comment because I originally initiated this report and everything back in April. And my concern was is that when I go to the arena, I don't see it always full, and I always thought there was room to improve on our utilization of the ice. And Mr. Hutton and I had some candid conversations around that. So I just was looking more from a latitude to what's in the short term, give as the facilities manager, the authority to down some of the rates to try and draw in additional business, because like you, Councilor Lubberts, I agree, if we can afford to lower the rates or stabilize the revenue and draw in more people, then obviously we can charge less to everybody. The whole community benefits at that point. And if we have a group that's constantly booked in from 11 p.m. to midnight, to Mr. Hutton's point, and we have a 1 hour or 2 hour gap in between them and a figure skating club, well, we're paying staff to be there anyways to maintain the arena. We might as well get something from the ice rather than nothing for 2 hours, so, or an hour. So, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Councilor Pizzero.
Just one last thing very briefly. I mean, this brings us up into the 21st century. This is being done with hotels, with airlines. You know, what is the cost of an airline ticket from point A to point B? Well, it depends. There is no fixed cost of anything anymore. It's supply and demand. It's how close you are to the actual date. And this just allows our facilities manager that flexibility, as Councillor Nutt said, to get some dollars in because the fixed cost is remaining static. So let's offset that the best we can. Thank you, Chair.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the questions. All those in favor? None opposed? I think that's the end. Oh, new business inquiries. Any new business inquiries? Seeing none, business status report. Any comments on business status report? Seeing none, infrastructure services is now in recess. I turn the chair back over to Mayor Redicott.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lubberts. And that takes us to Corporate Services. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Worship. We don't have any delegations this evening, and we don't have any reports. I don't know if any of my colleagues have any new business or inquiries. Seeing none, that would take us to the business status report. Are there any comments or questions with regard to the business status report? Again, seeing none, so that closes Corporate Services.
New record. 43 seconds. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Are there any meetings that we need to be made aware of, Councillor Zanko?
Thank you. Yes, we have a cemetery advisory meeting on coming up this Wednesday at 5:30, being held at the Public Library at Fort Erie Branch.
October the 21st?
Yes.
Okay. Any others, Councillor?
Yes, Mayor Redekop, our rescheduled 40-year active transportation meeting will be tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. in committee room number 1 here at Town Hall.
Any others? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I just received a message here on my iPad that there is a meeting, Communities in Bloom meeting, October 22nd at 5:30, in conference room 3 here in the Town Hall.
Okay. If there are no others, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Councillor Nutt?
Yes, Your Worship. I've moved a motion to adjourn at 6:53.
Thank you. All those in favor? Surprisingly, none opposed. Thank you.